Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com. And regain control over healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Gather around!
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too, it's live and local now. Good to have you with us. Kevin Wall with you until 12 noon. You know how it works. This is Friday, and you know what we do.
Friday.
Wall to wall.
It's Friday.
Yeah, Friday is the day that we work for all week long. Folks, it's here.
It's Friday.
Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Wall to wall.
It's Friday.
Friday.
What day is it?
I just love it. We celebrate Fridays on this program. It's a great way to kick off the show. And the second best way is with our next guest, Cassie Smedley, National Press Secretary for the Republican National Committee. She was dancing on the table during the Friday song, and she is with us. Good morning, Cassie. How you doing? Happy New Year.
Good morning. Happy New Year. Just really gets you in the mood.
I know. I just absolutely love it. Let me ask you, I know that you've been following what's been going on Capitol Hill at the White House, the trip to the border yesterday. Has anything changed? Has any dynamic changed? Do you see any reason to say, oh, there's a glimmer of hope?
Well, from the key players, no, the Chuck and Nancy team. However, we are seeing some cracks within the ranks. There was a report out yesterday, Politico, that was talking about these freshman Democrats, many of whom you might remember won in districts that Donald Trump won in 2016. They're getting a little nervous that they don't have something to write home about. They're getting a little nervous that they don't even have progress to talk about because they campaigned as being people that will go to Washington and do something. So I think that's going to be the tide that turns this conversation. There would a plurality of even Democrats, not just Republicans, say this is a problem that needs to be addressed. So I think that spells trouble for Nancy and Chuck's standoff, and we'll see what happens from there. But other than that, it's seems to be what we've been hearing for the better part of the last 3 weeks.
I know a lot of people asking, you know, what's the message of the president to the 800,000 families across the nation, 3,400 of those here in Nevada that are not getting a paycheck today. What should the message be from the Republican National Committee? And you obviously stand behind the president, but I'm curious what you think the message should be to these families that are going without a paycheck.
Right. Well, we hear you and we're with you and try and minimize the effect. And you're not just seeing it from the administration. Yes, the director of OMB, Office of Management and Budget, has made arrangements so that you can minimally open things or start moving on things. We've heard about tax returns and the people getting their home loans approved. But also, you're hearing about private companies and credit unions that are giving forgiveness on late fees or even allowing you to extend your payment. Heard that from a couple cell phone companies. So people are having a lot of empathy for the situation. But as the president said, he's not the first one to call this a crisis. This has been called a crisis by every president who served in this role for the last 30 years. And yet, we are at that crisis point where this is affecting economically almost every community in America. It's affecting the health of every community in America with the horrific heroin epidemic, and to say nothing of crime rates and all of the other instances that we've talked about. So President Trump is saying, I have empathy for the situation. I'm doing what I can to help ease this discomfort, and I know for some straight up pain of not knowing how to cover those bills. But we're experiencing a lot of pain because of this crisis, and we can't do what his predecessor, he's sticking strong to this. And again, to my first point, that's for members of Congress who are hearing from their constituents at home. On the one hand, I recognize we have a problem and I want it to be solved. On the other hand, I want you to be part of the solution because I need a paycheck. And that's where members of Congress should be going to their leadership and saying, let's work on this. Let's get this done. And I think that's where we're going to get movement, is when enough of them go and tell Chuck and Nancy, hey, get back to the table. Do you know that Nancy Pelosi is going to see Hamilton in Puerto Rico this weekend instead of working on this?
No.
Yes. The room where it happens. Instead of sitting in the room and getting this done, she's going down to Puerto Rico. That's the optics here. You've got the president who is trying to get this done. He's down on the border. He's sitting in the room. He's saying, okay, if I give you 30 days to open the government, will you work on a bill that includes border security? And she says no, and then she goes to Puerto Rico to hang out with Lin-Manuel. That pain that's being caused to these federal workers is because of President Trump, and when that's what she's doing.
And by the way, just for the record, over the holidays, the president was at the White House working, and Nancy was in Hawaii.
Right, she had a beautiful glow when she took the speaker's gavel, and that's because she was in Hawaii enjoying what I'm sure was an incredibly luxurious vacation, and the president was saying, come on, this has gone on because they are making a mockery out of what truly is a crisis in our country right now.
Are there facilitators in Congress? I know in the last couple of days, last 48 hours, Lindsey Graham was trying to broker a deal. Didn't happen. And finally, Lindsey Graham said, hey, you better pull the national emergency card because that's what you're going to need to get this done. Are there facilitators like Lindsey Graham that are out there in Congress that we ought to be monitoring at this point to see if they can help broker a deal?
Well, certainly Lindsey Graham has been the most vocal, but this is an interesting tidbit, and I have to tell you, I haven't heard anything more on this, but Jim Clyburn, who is the majority whip now, he was giving an interview, I think, day before yesterday, where he said they thought they were close to a deal. So that was interesting because that seemed to be news to people in his own party. But that, to me, tells me that there are conversations, and I don't know if he misspoke, because, again, I haven't heard anything more from that. But that, to me, says that there are conversations, and there are at least some people who recognize that this is putting their people in a bad spot, and they've got to at least offer a counterproposal. As a reminder, this has been going on for 3 weeks now, and the Democrats have not offered one counterproposal. They're sitting on their hands, and they are losing this argument within their own caucus, because I think that's a tough pill to swallow for their folks. Again, I mentioned those freshman members to go home and shrug their shoulders. That's tough.
Cassie, I saw that that morning consult poll with the Politico yesterday, and one of the things that I found remarkable, that if you add up the it's a problem and it's a crisis, it's 79%. Mm-hmm. That's like a landslide.
Right.
So I guess my question, do you feel the American people, and I know that you folks at the RNC, you keep your ear to the ground, does the American public, have they figured this out, that it is a crisis. It's a problem that we've been dealing with for decades, or actually not dealing with for decades, and that,
right.
and that somebody's got to put their foot down and do it?
Yes, I think so, and I think that's why the president, who has made this promise, this is a cornerstone of his candidacy, is saying not only is it a promise I intend to keep, but it's a promise I have to keep, because I know that this is something that was a reason people went to the polls and voted for me. Also, we know it's a reason that people went to the polls and voted in 2018, and lest we forget, we added two seats in the Senate, so this wasn't, you know, in all the Democrats' game. I know in Nevada it was a different story, but immigration continues to be one of the top three issues that people say is most important to them. And it's important for different reasons, whether that's their local economy and jobs, whether that's, of course, the heroin opioid epidemic, the incredible amounts that are coming over the border, or the sheer health issue that we're seeing with people that coming in and they're sick and they're taking resources from that would otherwise go to our community. There's any number of reasons that is the reason why this is an issue for people. And the president is saying it, but not just him. I don't know if you heard the soundbite from the chief of the CBP yesterday when they were down on the border. And he said, we need a barrier. In the areas here in the Rio Grande where I have a barrier, immigration is way down, and we're able to focus our resources and efforts where they need to go, not just on going and getting these people who are crossing our border. Where I don't have a barrier, we spend all of our time going in, and because everybody knows where the barrier isn't. So they go to the part where there's not a barrier, and then they cross, and we're spending all of our time apprehending those people that we encounter there, and less time that we're working on asylum claims, less time that we're working on reunification or paperwork. And that's the problem. The president sort of laughed, and he said, we haven't met before, right? I didn't tell you to say that, right? This is directly from his mouth, these guys on the front lines. And that's the point that the president is making with all of this. The wall, some have say, has become symbolic, but no, he's saying the wall is priority one, because once you have your border secure, then you can give the resources, disperse the resources to the other needs, whether that's the 800,000 backlog of asylum claims, or whether that's the reunification, because of course we know so many people make this journey and on their own, or parents send up their kids on their own, and they can't do it all. And so they've got to, I think what he said is, if we have a barrier, then we can spend the time on the surveillance. But when you're just spending all of your time drinking from a fire hose with hundreds, if not thousands, of people crossing the border every day, just literally walking across a dirt path, then you can't spend your time where, you know, stopping the influx of drugs and stopping all the nefarious activity, because you're just trying to do the minimum just to keep up.
Cassie, in our final couple of minutes, how is this going to get fixed? Is there a technicality we can use, the thing that the president's been talking about relative to, well, the new trade law that's going to be coming into effect, that'll get us our $5 billion and more, or the savings that we will end up with once we have a wall? We won't, as you say, we won't have to spend the money you know, at the border.
Right.
So we'll just use the savings, and that'll build the wall. How is this going to get fixed?
Well, there's that. There was another report that they're looking into. There's emergency funds from the Army Corps of Engineers right now, which I think is about $16 billion. So he's looking if he can tap into that for them to contract the wall that way. But this is the president doesn't want to do that. You know, everybody's saying, are you going to declare this a national emergency so you can tap into these funds? And he's saying, no, I want Congress to do their jobs, because I want this to be a permanent solution. Because the problem is, if he has to go through the drastic measure of calling this a national emergency so he can access more funds to be able to get this done, then it's at the whim of Congress or whoever's in the White House to complete it and continue the funding for it. Versus if Congress comes to the table and does their job, then we can have a permanent solution and finally get this crisis under control. This has been 30 years. So everybody's trying to say, oh, he wants to declare a national emergency. That really is his last stand, his last resort, because he wants this to be a permanent solution. We need it to be a permanent solution. And so I think I am optimistic that there will be some, I think it'll be some sort of incremental movement. I can see him not getting the full 5.7 that he's asked for in this moment, but getting some piece of that with a plan to continue the process. But the pressure has to be from the Democrat rank and file to their leadership. And the only way you get that pressure is to call your member of Congress, and they need to feel the pressure from their constituents to say, hey, get to work. We don't like that you're going home on the weekend. We don't like that your leadership's going to Puerto Rico to see Hamilton and rub shoulders with the rich and famous. We want you working on this. We believe, us Democrats, that this is a problem, if not a crisis. You need to start doing your job. Okay. So that's how it gets done.
Final question. You going to be rooting for the Chiefs this weekend?
I've got my red on today.
I love it. For those of you that don't know, Cassie and I are both from Kansas City. We both went to Catholic high schools, and but we never knew each other. She's a tad later than I was. But
we are bonded in spirit for our great city.
Exactly. Hey, listen, you have a great one. Go Chiefs, and we'll talk soon.
Yes, sir. Go Chiefs. Have a good weekend.
Cassie Smedley joining us, a national spokesperson and press secretary for the Republican National Committee. We're running like way late, which means I got to take a break. We're going to do that. I'm going to let you hear what the president said at the border. We'll do that and more coming up live and local now.
For many, open enrollment 2019 closed on December 15th. Not if you're self-employed or an independent contractor. You have plenty of time to enroll. Infinite 1099 has had a Nevada business license for at least 6 months, or as a member of the Real Estate Association, GLVAR, has the opportunity to enroll into better coverage for lower premiums. For more information, call Patrick Casale of the MultiCare Group, 702-396-9449. That's 702-396-9449. The opportunity to buy better plans is now a reality. Lower deductibles, better premiums with national access networks is now an option. Call me, Patrick Casale, at the MultiCare Group today, 702-396-9449. That's 702-396-9449, and find out the options do exist. For more information, check out my website, The MultiCare Group. That's themulticaregroup.com.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas, with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super-serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Into Flamingo at Pecos.
Why do politics matter? Well, because ideas matter. I am Michael Schaus, Communications Director for Nevada Policy, and Nevada Policy, we're focused on those ideas, not politics. Politics are about parties, lawmakers, it's about grandstanding. Ideas, however, are about empowering people and finding solutions. After all, to a parent, an idea such as school choice is not political, it's personal. To taxpayers, the idea of government transparency is not political, it's about ensuring confidence in our public institutions. Ideas like these are what will make a difference in Nevada, regardless of what political parties are running games in Carson City. We won't be able to stop every bad policy dreamt up by the newly elected legislature, nor will we be able to will into existence all the good ones, but we can make sure that the ideas that actually matter to Nevadans have someone fighting for them. Find out what we're fighting for at Nevada Policy. Visit NevadaPolicy.org today and sign up to stay informed during next year's legislative session. Let's make sure the right ideas have a voice when lawmakers meet in 2019. Visit NevadaPolicy.org.
Hello, this is Brent Jones again, owner of Real Water and Real MMA. As a Nevada businessman, I understand how difficult it can be to stay in business and remain profitable. Taxation, excessive regulation, employment issues, lawsuits, competition, increases in supply cost. The list goes on. That is why a group of concerned business owners formed the Real Chamber of Commerce. We need a pro-business environment in our great state. Unfortunately, it's increasing, making it harder and harder to make ends meet. We must take Nevada back. The Real Chamber will work hard on your behalf to fight against additional tax increases and more regulation. You need a chamber that is truly on your side. That is the Real Chamber of Commerce. Please, Join Real Water and other concerned business owners. Get involved and help take Nevada back. For more information, go to realchamberofcommerce.com. That's realchamberofcommerce.com or call 702-521-0632.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. It's live and local now. I want you to hear from the border. The president was in McAllen. We'll pay for the wall. This is cut four. The president in McAllen, Texas, yesterday.
When I say Mexico's going to pay for the wall, that's what I said. Mexico's going to pay. I didn't say they're going to write me a check for $20 billion or $10 billion. Nobody's going to write a check. I said they're going to pay for the wall. And if Congress approves this incredible trade bill that we made with Mexico and Canada, by the way, but with Mexico in this case, they're paying for the wall many, many times over. And Dan said, would you do me a favor, say that? And I do say it, but the press sort of refuses to acknowledge it. When I say Mexico is going to pay for the wall, that's what I mean. Mexico's paying for the wall. And I didn't mean, please write me a check. I mean, very simply, they're paying for it in the trade deal. And sometimes I'd say that. So hopefully people will start to understand. Now, if the deal doesn't get approved by Congress, which would be hard because it's so much better than NAFTA. NAFTA was a horrible trade deal, one of the worst ever made. It really hurt our country. But now we have the USMCA, and it's a great deal. And I think that you're going to see some tremendous improvement for the farmers and for the people of Texas.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think most Americans, in fact, even a lot of Democrats, don't really care. Who is it that pays for the wall? I don't think anybody cares about that. One thing we do know is that 79% of Americans in a Morning Consult Politico poll believe that border security along our southern border is either a problem or a crisis. 79%, only 12% say it isn't. We'll see what you think coming up. We're going to get to your calls coming up in just a couple of minutes. At 844, the number 2, Nevada. Did the president convince anybody in the last 48 hours? Maybe you didn't think it was a crisis. Now you think it's a crisis? Call me right now. 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. I'm Kevin Wall. The program live and local now.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
From Anthem Country Club, Harry Reid speaking out again, this time saying that President Trump, quote, has no conscience, unquote, for insisting on a wall. Reid is, 79? He called Trump amoral in a New York Times Magazine article last week. On KNPR radio yesterday, Reid underscored it, quote, I think he is amoral. I don't think he has a conscience. He added that there is no better example than building this wall. Barack Obama favored a wall. I think Hillary Clinton favored a wall. Now all of a sudden a wall is amoral? I don't quite understand that. And again, Harry Reid battling pancreatic cancer. So our thoughts and prayers go out to him, but he's dead wrong on this thing. No pun intended, but he is. He is absolutely 1,000% wrong. Ask the family of Kate Steinle. Ask the family of that slain California police officer. I mean, that's there's no way to justify what Harry Reid said yesterday on KNPR. In the radio interview, he said that he was, quote, doing fine, was in good health. He retired from the Senate in 2017. He was diagnosed last year and treated for pancreatic cancer. But he says he's doing fine and in, quote, good health, unquote. So our very best goes out to Harry Reid. But the fact is, the guy is just flat out wrong. I want to go to cut five real quick. I want you to hear from the president, where he justified the use of the national emergency. This was the president getting set to jump on Marine One. Here is the president of the United States.
I have the absolute right to declare a national emergency. The lawyers have so advised me. I'm not prepared to do that yet, but if I have to, I will. I have no doubt about it. I will. I have the absolute right to declare. This was passed by Congress. So when you say, was it passed by Congress? It was. Other presidents have used it, some fairly often. I have the absolute right to declare a national emergency. I haven't done it yet. I may do it. If this doesn't work out, probably I will do it. I would almost say definitely. This is a national emergency.
Why haven't you declared a national emergency?
Because I would like to do the deal through Congress. And because it makes sense to do it through Congress. But the easy route for me would have been call a national emergency and do it. And I will tell you, this is a tremendous crisis at the border.
It is. And it's weird that if you look back and you see what former President Obama said about it, what Hillary Clinton and other Democrats have said about a border wall, we need it. We got to have it. And yet for some reason now, well, we know the reason. We know it's because President Trump is the one asking for the wall. Let's go to Kelly. Kelly, you're up and you're on Live and Local Now. I'm Kevin Wall. Good morning.
Hi, Kevin. It's Kelly. I just want to say one thing about Harry Reid. I wish him no harm, and I hope he gets well. But if he's so damn concerned about the wall, tell him to take down the two walls that he's got up over at Anthem Country Club surrounding his house. Okay?
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. And Pelosi's got a wall. Schumer's got a wall. I mean, this is getting ridiculous, okay? And Harry Reid, as far as I'm concerned, again, I wish him no harm. I hope he gets well. But this man has ruined the state. He made himself rich. He lived in Searchlight. He didn't have a pot to piss in. And all of a sudden, he's a wealthy man. And all he's done is made trouble. Trouble, pushing all his people into positions, senators. He's a deal maker, okay? And maybe if he's that sick, maybe the next time around we won't have to put up with him. Period.
Yeah, there you go. We never want to speak ill of those who are ill. And if indeed he is doing his best to fight pancreatic cancer, we wish him well in his bid to do so. You want to join us? Kelly, thank you. I appreciate the call. 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. Oh, by the way, if you missed it yesterday and all the hoopla surrounding McAllen, Texas, and the border, Adam Schiff, we're going to go to cut one real quick. Adam Schiff is welcoming Michael Cohen's testimony. For those of you who don't know, Michael Cohen is going to testify on February 7th, which happens to be my brother's birthday. So we're going to celebrate my brother's birthday on February 7th by having Michael Cohen testify before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee You tell me if it's, which is going to be a bigger deal, my brother's birthday or Michael Cohen testifying? Michael Cohen is a convicted liar. He's a liar. Nah, he is. Anyway, I want you to hear from Adam Schiff. This is cut number one. And this is Adam Schiff. He is the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. He wants his committee to hear from Michael Cohen as well. Listen to Adam Schiff yesterday on CNN.
We welcome his testimony before the Congress. We are glad that he's continuing to cooperate. We are going to need to have him come before the Intelligence Committee to answer questions about the Russia investigation. My understanding from his counsel is that he wants to tell his story before the Government Reform Committee, but not go to the Russia questions. Those questions still need to be answered. So we are in conversations with his counsel. We hope to have him come before our committee soon. He has obviously testified before our committee before, and that testimony was not fully forthcoming. He's accepted responsibility for that, but we need these questions answered.
Now, the fact is, he's a convicted liar. So the number one question from the lead Republican on that committee will probably be something on the order of, oh, you told us you were going to tell the truth last time and you didn't. You're telling us this time you're going to tell the truth. Are you going to? That's what it comes down to. Bill, you're listening on 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks. Good morning, Bill.
Yeah, good morning. All the TV shows that I've seen, I have never once seen them tell the population of Central and South America. Do you know what the population is there? Is it 50, 100 million?
I do not. I wouldn't even...
I know what it is. I know what it is. It's 80 million in Central America, sir. It's 400 million in South America. So we come up with a figure of 480 or half a billion. These people need to show this to the public that it's half a billion. What are you going to do with that amount of people when they're coming here? It's not our fault their governments are collapsing, but it's 480 million, sir.
Okay, and
I'd say game over.
The problem is, you got all these people, and many of them want to come here. The president during the campaign said, if we don't fix this, we're going to be overrun at our border. And that's what's happening. The president, then candidate Trump, was exactly right, that we are going to be overrun by people wanting to come to America, quote, for a better life, to avoid persecution. That's exactly what's happening. We'll get to more of your calls coming up. Ed will lead off, all the rest of you right behind Ed. 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. I'm Kevin Wall. The program is live and local now.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com.
Hello, this is Nathan Taylor, President and CEO of the Taylor Consulting Group. Have you been wanting to start a business but just can't seem to find the time to go through the mountains of paperwork the government requires? Are you just overwhelmed by the bureaucracy and the burdensome regulations? Well, fear no more, because the Taylor Consulting Group is your one-stop shop for all your business consulting needs. Whether it's starting a restaurant, a tavern, or a cafe, our knowledgeable staff will guide you through the licensing process. We specialize in gaming licenses, liquor licenses, and land use consulting. Don't wait any longer to make your entrepreneurial dreams come true. Contact the Taylor Consulting Group today at 702-483-7045. That's 702-483-7045. 702-483-7045. Or visit our website at thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. That's thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. At the Taylor Consulting Group, your success is our business.
It keeps getting better and better at Rhythm Kitchen Seafood and Steaks. Hey, Kevin Wall here. The fun begins every afternoon, 4 till 6:30, with the best happy hour in the Vegas Valley. Mondays are extra special at Rhythm Kitchen. Enjoy happy hour all night long. And on Mondays, you get 50% off every bottle of wine under $100. Every day, Rhythm Kitchen features New Orleans-style seafood specialties. Crawfish etouffee, beignets, jambalaya. Like I said, it just keeps getting better and better. Rhythm Kitchen also features a banquet facility. So book your corporate events, birthday, anniversary, holiday parties, or any other celebration. Call Chris at 702-767-8438. That's 702-767-8438. Great food, incredible five-star service. I just love it. Open every day at 4, serving prime steaks and seafood. Rhythm Kitchen, located on South Decatur, just off the 215.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the experiences we have in Nevada. Lots of kids bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes. We also have a wide variety of those, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Light your liberty. Starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To find out how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It is live and local now. Good to have you with us. Kevin Wall with you. It is Friday. Let's get to your phone calls. A lot of you holding very patiently. We thank you for that. As promised, Ed is leading us off in this segment. Ed in Henderson, you're listening on 790 Talk Now. Ed Stoll's great radio station. Good morning.
Yes. When these unaccompanied minors come over, they really represent a big financial burden. I mean, counselors, education, maybe they have to be assigned an attorney. I mean, they can't enter into a contract. They can't rent a motel. I mean, it's really got to be a financial burden. So just on that basis, they should get some emergency funding capability for that. But what they should do, instead of calling it a border fence or a border wall, they could call it a border condom, and that way it would get more Democratic support.
I love that. I love that. Let me just ask you, though. It seems as if the president has been on a crusade just in the last week to convince America that what we have down there is a border crisis. Do you agree with that? Do you think this is a crisis, a problem? 79% in a morning consult Politico poll say that this is either a problem or a crisis. Do you think it's a problem or crisis? Whoops, I lost him. I didn't touch him. I didn't cut him off, I swear. He's just among the faithfully departed. That ultimately is going to be the question. Is this a crisis? If the president declares a national emergency, is he going to be on solid legal ground? I'm not a constitutional attorney. I don't know. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't know. But what I do know is that we are spending billions of dollars with a B along our southern border dealing with all of these people that are coming across. It's happening right now, today. And yet, you know, you've got all these members of Congress going nuts on this thing. No, seriously. You know, the idea of, declaring it a national emergency. I don't know. The president is going to have trouble convincing courts that what we have down there is a national emergency. But the numbers are staggering. The numbers are staggering. And then there's the other issue that the president is juggling along with the problems along our southern border, and that's the problem of Michael Cohen getting ready to testify on February 7th. And that'll be before the House Oversight Committee and Government Reform Committee. He will speak about Stormy Daniels and Barbara McDougal, Preet Bharara. Preet Bharara, remember that? He is a former federal prosecutor, essentially was fired, let go by the Trump administration. And Preet Bharara was speculating yesterday on CNN on whether Robert Mueller will end up using public statements, tweets, statements to the press as actual evidence. This is Cut 7. It's Preet Bharara yesterday on CNN.
The White House believes that the Mueller team is preparing to use the president's public statements, including his tweets and various lies, to try to build an obstruction of justice case against the president. What do you make of that theory?
I mean, I think that's what prosecutors do. I mean, I think there's this view in the public that everything that people bring forward in court to prove a charge or an allegation is something that they found out through a wiretap or through a search or going through someone's garbage. People's public statements matter also. People's public statements often tell exactly what's going on in the person's mind. I don't think you could make a case in this circumstance and in many circumstances purely from the public comments of someone unless they're in the essence of a complete confession. But public comments and indications of the president's state of mind through tweets and other interviews that he's given, combined with testimony from other people about what the thinking was and what the reasons were for engaging in various bits of conduct like firing Jim Comey and other things, those in combination paint a very powerful picture, I think, that prosecutors don't want to give up.
Well, the fact is that they are going to use the public statements. And the question is, would a jury, a jury of his peers, would they allow, would they allow these statements to be used? And I'm not talking about the judge involved of a court case. I'm talking about public opinion. I think they're going to realize that in the heat of a political campaign, you say a lot of stuff, you know. Anyway, I want you to hear from Mazie Hirono. If you don't know who she is on the Senate Judiciary Committee. She is from Hawaii. And she was on with Wolf Blitzer on CNN yesterday calling the border wall. I want you to listen to her reasoning. Calling the border wall a manufactured crisis.
Mitch McConnell is the second person, aside from the president, who won't do anything because the president is amoral and he's a hostage taker. We shouldn't be negotiating with a hostage taker. The Mitch McConnell can bring these bills to the floor, and I'm calling on all of the Republicans to listen to their constituents who are in great pain, to say to Mitch McConnell, and some of them have come forward, which is a good thing, more of them need to come forward to say to Mitch McConnell, let's do our jobs, let's reopen government, and then we can argue about the wall with regard to the funding for Homeland Security.
I gotta let you go, but very quickly, you say the president's a hostage taker. What do you mean specifically?
He's taking 800,000 federal employees hostage so he can get his vanity wall. That's what I mean. He's a hostage taker. He can't negotiate about the wall on the substance of it. He has to take 800,000 people hostage in order to get what he wants. And this is a vanity wall because, of course, we Democrats want border security, but we want it to be a smart border security, not the kind of physical wall that so many people say is not going to do the job. So he's created this crisis. It's a manufactured crisis, and he's doing everything he can to make everybody believe that he's literally up against the wall, and the only real wall is the one that's closing in on him.
Ooh, very clever, very clever, very clever. All I know is that the former President Barack Obama wanted a wall. So did Hillary Clinton. If you look at clip after clip after clip, and Fox has been really good about doing this. The other cable networks have just dropped it altogether. But the fact is that you got a lot of people out there, Democrats, who years ago were talking about, we need a wall. Border security. Now all of a sudden, they're singing from a different hymnal. It makes no sense at all. Coming up, we're going to shift gears. You've heard a lot since the midterm elections about women, hashtag Me Too, and the fact that women ran the table. 80-some-odd women elected to the House of Representatives. The largest infusion of gender politics, maybe in the history of our country. We'll see what it all means. Carrie Lucas, the president of the Independent Women's Forum, will join us on our City National Bank guest hotline, and we'll find out the role of women looking ahead to 2020. Could it mean the difference between a re-election of Donald J. Trump and, the election of a Democrat president? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up. I'm Kevin Wall, the program live and local now. Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.